But that's just a joke within the inner circles. But give you a little history about our church. We started out with Canton Grace Fellowship, and we changed the name about 5 or 6 years ago because if you're not familiar with the wiles of the devil, and this may be part of my message a little bit, is the fact that, you know, Satan has tactics out there. And I probably should wait on this, but, you know, just because you've got grace in your name, a church, doesn't mean that you're a mid-Acts dispensational grace Bible-believing church. Just because you have a cross on the doorway don't mean that you preach Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I think many of you know that. So when we had our name, there was many people that was going to a grace fellowship thinking they was coming to us because we was on the radio. We called when we first moved up to Maslin, reason why we're moved up to Ohio. And I know many of you come to me and they say, where are you from? And I'm originally from Virginia. My wife and I are. And I guess I never will kick that accent, but I don't have the accent. You guys have the accent. But we moved up and we called 22,000 people within a 15-minute radius, you know, asked them two questions. And we helped start a church there, and we committed 2 years. And within that 2 years, Sherry and I started decreasing where the people that we got there could increase and support the church. And something went wrong. The doctrine got changed. And to make a long story short, we sit down with the preacher with the doctrine because Sherry and I had been introduced to Right Divisions in 1993. And we moved up here in 2000. So you're not going to move Sherry and I. So we was established in the doctrine of Pauline dispensational truths. And the preacher, which was a good friend, he started changing some things because he bought a building, that type of thing. Well, make a long story short, we was going to go back to Virginia and move our family back down there because we have no family here. We have no, you know, moms, dads, brothers, sisters. We have moms, we have brothers and sisters now. And it was a shock. We was going to go back. And then we went by Daryl Mefford's, had a conference and talked to Richard. And they encouraged us to stay in Ohio spiritually so we could grow. And that's what we did. And I started Grace School of Bible in 2001. I might have mentioned that the other day. And I did complete it, David, in 2 years and 24 months. And, you know, because many people start to school, and I would encourage you, if you're really a true Bible believer, a student of the Bible, that is a great curriculum there, and it's a 3-year course. And some people still on the 15, 20 year plan, I imagine. You know, my wife's raising her hand. I'm her grader. I should be all over her. But, 2001, and then we went over Brother Ted Fellows. Church for a couple years, and then 2004 I finished the school, and then 2005 I desired the office of a bishop, and we started working our home. And when we started working our home, my podium was a ironing board, and I had a flower sheet over top of it. And I said that flowers was donated by the Yarber family this morning, that type of thing. And that was our and the very first meeting we had Howard and Julie. They was the administrators of the Christian school our kids was going to. They showed up, and we're like, wow. And my hair was sticking up like that, and the kids was in the pajamas and all that. And so it was funny because he had texted, I think the day after, said, we're bringing donuts next week. We're like, whoa. You know, so that was the start of our church in October 2nd area. And then we moved up to the police community room, and we've been there for 15 years. And like I mentioned yesterday, we've been known as the Little Grace Church under law for 15 years because the real law was up here. The spiritual law was, you know, around us too. But since then, we cannot meet in there. And it's been hard on many of us because some of you going through the same thing hadn't been meeting corporately. So my wife took a job down to Cambridge, Ohio. She manages an 850-acre ranch resort. and I'll just tag along. You know, so I said, okay. So we sold her home. We went down, and now we have a place in the basement, and some of our people's been there, and that's where we're going to have church for a while because it's free. You know, who don't like free? You know, you take the R out of free, what you got? Fee. And that's what a lot of religion does. You know that, don't you? They want to put a fee on a free, and that's not right. But let's go to word and prayer. Father, once again, we thank you for the day. We thank you for things you've given us. And as we think about this message, let us be mindful of who we are in Christ. And we may be able to grow and understand some things about the wind and how God looks at some things and how the verses will portray and play in our life. And Lord, as we think about many people may have prayer requests and praise items for health or finances or just people that are lost, that we have a gospel that saves the day. And that's the answer that people needs to hear. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you got your Bibles, be turning to 2 Timothy chapter 3. And our theme verse is 2 Timothy 3, 1, and I'm going to read down through here a little bit, but that's not my message, so just hang on there. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. And Paul goes on to say that, for men shall be lovers of them own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without nature, natural affections, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they that which creep into houses and led captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to knowledge of the truth. Now, if you look at the world today, we can think that Paul is really writing into the future, isn't he? That's what it seems like, because that's what's going on. But it was going on in Paul's days, too. This is nothing new, and the thing was, we know what was going on during his time. That's what we're getting. But he goes on to say in verse 13, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. So what do you do about that? What? Now, in my little church, I teach, okay? Many of us get preached at all the time by our spouses, don't we? But I like to teach. I like interaction. So if I point at you, I'm not going to ask you to say anything. But our group knows what we're doing. I like to teach the Bible, okay? And that's what we're doing. But what do you do about this? It's found in the next verse, okay? But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And so many of us has been taught some good moral things in our life, haven't we? You know, the golden rules, that type of thing. But the things that Paul is telling Timothy goes on more than just acting morally or acting socially, guidelines, if you will. It has to do with standing and withstanding the winds of the doctrine, and that will come blowing in every direction. So this brings me to the message that we're talking about, every wind's a doctrine, that type of thing. If you heard some things going on today, I hope it's made some sense, not today, but this weekend, it's building on this perilous times and stuff. But in our local church, we're teaching through the book of Daniel. And we're in Daniel chapter 11. And I think we've had 66 lessons so far. Well, if you know the school, you're probably already finished with the school by then, but we're teaching the curriculum out of the Bible. And Daniel chapter 2 gives the course of the Gentiles, doesn't it? And if you know that in the course of the Gentiles, when Israel goes into captivity, you know, at one time they was the nation, right? And then they go in captivity, and the times of the Gentiles comes into play. And do you know that you're still in the times of the Gentiles? Are you aware of that? So when you think about that, that has not changed, but when does that change? When the Lord Jesus Christ comes back. And who is the God of this world? Satan. Who is the prince power of the air? Satan. And he is blowing, Satan is blowing every winds of doctrine, and he has an agenda that many of the men are following today. And they're creating havoc, whether it's through the political realm of the world or through the religious realm of the world. And we need to be aware of that. We need to know who we are. And I'm listening to some good stuff this weekend. It's like, I needed this. You know, Ben talking about he shut media off for the last 10 days. We got our youngest daughters thinking the same thing. There's nothing wrong with that. You know who you are. But the thing is, about the times of the Gentiles, that hasn't changed. So the God of the world is setting up some things we know on this earth. But who actually set up the original government, human government? God did, didn't he? Okay, he's going to ultimately take over. But the Bible says the mystery of iniquity doth what? All your work. When you look out the world today, do you see unrighteousness? Do you see lawlessness? Do you see transgressions of spiritual laws and crimes against God? Do you see moral and legal wrongs, depravity and sin in general? You see that stuff, don't you? So it should not surprise you to go outside these doors and see a world like that. But isn't it a beautiful day? The sun is shining, the hay's in the field, grass is green. Many of us had our cereal, coffee. Seems so beautiful. You don't want to leave this place. You don't want to change it. You know, I'm just joking, don't you? Listen, the mystery of iniquity already works out there. It's lawlessness is carrying on. But that's not going to stop until Lord Jesus Christ comes back. But we have a chance to change this. You know that song, This Little Light of Mine? I'm going to let it shine. You know what that's about? Redeeming the time. It's you remember Egypt? You remember the 10 plagues? Do you know those 10 plagues was against the 10 gods of this world? And the Lord Jesus Christ, God Almighty, put down every one of those, and he even conquered death. But that light, wasn't Israel a light in the dark world in Goshen? And the whole world was dark and there was Israel light. Who are you supposed to be? Light of the what? Light of the world. You know, the glorious light that shines inside of you. Back to the Daniel study. I know we're not there yet. But a Daniel study, chapter 9 goes on and talks about the Jewish timetable. And there's 69 weeks and 79 weeks. And you got to understand, if you know the Bible, who is he talking about? The 69 weeks and 70 weeks determined upon who? What does the Bible say? Thy people. Who is thy people with God? Israel. Sorry, folks, you and I are not Israel. And if you think you have been, you're being fooled. You've been deceived. And I know many of us has been deceived in our life, hadn't we? We jumped on every winds of doctrines. But when we as members of the body of Christ, and you've got to remember that in the 70th week of Daniel comes up, the Antichrist. That's the times of that covers the Antichrist. And I don't care where you're at right today, who you talk to, people's trying to put the prophetic program into the mystery program to determine what God is doing today, and it does seem like everything's bearing down on you, don't it? You know, it just seemed like, I remember, I forget his name, he had a big radio program, big following, and he always predicted the end of times. And May 6th or May 20-something, the world, who's it? The one from California. And he had a big radio, and he determined that the world was going to end at this date, at 6 p.m. So my son and I was at the Indians game, and they was playing Cincinnati. And about 6 o'clock, the clouds started moving in. And we're up in the, 400 or 500 seat. We're with a couple other people. The clouds started rolling in, and I poked my son. I said, "He shall descend from the clouds." You know, and it started coming over, and Josh looked at me, and I'm looking at him. And then about 6:05, some guy stood up, and he said, "We're still here." You know, and I thought to myself, was he mocking God or mocking Christians? So you got to watch how you portray yourself out here, guys. And when we as members of the body of Christ, we have no dealing a part into that. Okay? Sherry, will you get me, where's she at? I forgot my handkerchief, guys, so if I do this stuff, no, I don't want to do that. But anyway, the Antichrist will come in and he'll say, "I am him." The Antichrist will come in the 70th week and he will be God, if you understand what that means. He's going to be God because that's what he wants to do. And he will come in and he puts up a false covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And he puts their sacrifices and their obligation. Thank you. And obligations in and restores the temple and the city. And the Antichrist will convince Israel that he's the Messiah. That's what he's doing. He's going to do that. Now, also in a Daniel study, turn to Hosea chapter 12. Hosea chapter 12. There was something in there that's really interesting how this popped up. And Hosea chapter 12, verse 1, Ephraim, this is Israel, feedeth on the wind, and follow after the east wind. He daily increased lies and desolations, and they do make a covenant with the Assyrian, and the oil is carried into Egypt. You know who the Assyrian here is. You know who the Antichrist is here? He's the Assyrian, okay? And that made my mind start thinking, he feedeth on the wind and follow after the east wind. Before we go there, many of you know Weather Lord. We got a couple of farmers back there, and if you think of the farmers, they watch the weather. You know, I think while my wife was a beach manager, if she gets alerts on the weather thing, and it's like a storm's coming, she's aware, she's watching everything. But the Weather Lord, some of the Weather Lord is this. You know, the wind's probably been around from the beginning of time, right? The wind has. And some of the Lord is, when the wind is in the north, the skillful fisher goes not forth. You don't go fishing when that. When the wind is in the east, 'tis good for neither man nor beast. When the wind is in the south, it blows the flies in the fish mouth. When the wind is in the west, there is it the very best. So you have wind coming different directions, and you have to admit, it does affect you what you're going to do. North winds send hail, south winds bring rain, east wind be well, west winds blow amain. Northeast is the cold, southeast not too warm, northwest too bold, southwest do no harm. I can remember as a kid that in the wintertime, the east wind was when the worst storms come, and that's what we're going to look at. We actually prayed for the storms and because it brought your deepest snows. But there's a north wind, a south wind, an east wind, and west wind. And anybody ever used the Liberty Illustrated Bible Dictionary? Do you happen to have one of those? You should get one of those. I found one for a quarter in a bookstore. But I know some people outside of a King James Bible. Treasure of Scripture Knowledge is a good book, and this is another good book. And it gives you good definitions that will apply to the Bible. And this is what it says about the wind. The natural movement of air as a part of the weather pattern. The hot, dry climate of Palestine make the winds very important to the Hebrew people. The winds of the regions include cool daytime winds, evening sea breeze, bearing essential moistures, and hot blasts from the desert. So you have different winds. Here's the north wind. The dry north wind is the coldest wind in Palestine, blowing from June until September. The Arabs call it the poison because, you know why? It's cold, wind, heat, causes headaches, fever, flu, COVID. Just joking. You know, it does. It's cold, chilling on the back of your neck, that north wind is. And the north wind in Proverbs 25:23 says, which bringeth forth rain is really the northwest wind. You have the west wind. It carries moisture from the Mediterranean Sea over Palestine between November and February. The west wind drove off the locusts in Egypt. The rain-bearing west wind also was ended a severe drought in the days of the prophet of Elijah. You got the south wind blows. Paul's ship gently in Acts chapter 17 before fierce of wind demolished his ship. And God quiets the earth with a south wind in Job. And the Arabs called the south wind of the desert Sirocco. It blows about one day at a time during the spring. So you get that south wind blow. How many of us ever spent some time in Hawaii? We went over in December, and there's trade winds come in. And all you have to do is raise your windows up, and it's just a nice, cool breeze. But when it shifts, it's not so cool breeze. The east wind. Violent east wind blows from the desert. This is the wind most often mentioned in the Bible. It scorches the grain, weathers the vine, parches the fruit. The east wind also brought the plagues of locusts, blowing from the wilderness that dried up the springs of water in Hosea. Generally, all such violent gusts of wind were tribute to the east. The winds are also called the winds of the wilderness. And the blast that struck the home of Job's son, that killed them, and was probably from the east wind. And the one that God departed the Red Sea, probably from the east wind. And the one that shipwrecked Paul. But nothing good comes from the east wind. Nothing good. Now, how many have seen this picture? Do you know there's a dust storm in Africa that's coming from the east? And it's been coming several months. It's a massive dust storm that's crossed the Atlantic from the east. Did you know that? So that's not affecting our economy, so there's a corn shortage. Just joking. Back to Hosea chapter 12, verse 1. Ephraim feedeth off the wind and followed after the east winds, and his daily increased lies and desolence, and they do make a covenant with Assyrians. And that's the Antichrist of the Assyrians. When you cross-reference the word feedeth, go to Hosea, you're in Hosea, you look at verse 8. Hosea verse 8, chapter 8, verse 7. For they have sown the wind, and they shall reap the whirlwind. It hath not stalk, no stalk. The buds shall yield no meal. So be it yield, the stranger shall swallow it up. Jeremiah 22, I'll read it to you if you don't want to turn there. Jeremiah 22 says, the wind shall eat up all thy pastors, and thy lovers shall go into captivity. Surely then thou shalt be ashamed and confound for all thy wickedness. This is not good, this wind coming from the Antichrist, this wind. And Job talks about, Job 15 says, should a wise man utter vain knowledge and fill his belly with the east wind? Should he reason with unprofitable talk and with speeches wherewith he can do no good? What are they doing? They're filling their bellies with words coming from the east, coming from the Antichrist. and the winds of words. And Israel is feeding on and off these words of the Antichrist. You know what that is? False doctrine. You think Israel had false doctrine back in the day? They did, didn't they? They became apostated. They departed. So when the Lord Jesus Christ come on this earth, very few recognized him. You can't say all of Israel didn't. Very few recognized him. In fact, there's one waited till the day he was waiting to die to see the Messiah. So you think that these things has changed since then, since Israel? We're in the times of the Gentiles. We're in a time. We heard a message on Gentiles, didn't we? What's the gospel to the Gentiles today? Believe a Jewish message? A circumcised message? A kingdom message? There's a verse in Paul's writings that talks about wind. You know the only verse he talks about wind is? Ephesians 4. Be turning there. Ephesians 4. We're going to break down this passage a little bit. Now, I shared with the guys earlier, when you're putting a message together, a PowerPoint, you think you have everything in line. And I think it was Charlie was standing there. I said, if you know me, how long is this message going to be? And Charlie goes, 38 minutes? See, he knows me very well. It was 20 minutes. I'm like, I probably shouldn't tell you that, because preachers, you know, you might think, well, that guy's just blowing wind. No, but anyway, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14. So I'm going to slow down a little bit, okay? We got some time, okay? Okay. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14 says, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried away with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of man and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Every wind of doctrine, where does the wind come from? Where do you think it comes from? The north, the south, the east, the west. You just saw that it does. But every wind of doctrine, be no more. Isaiah chapter 28. If you want to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, I'm going to touch on that too. But be no more, no more. If you break it down, Isaiah 28 says, whom shall he teach knowledge? And whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from milk and drawn from the breast. You know, Brother Russell talked about milk last night, didn't he? He talked about a babe cannot understand this doctrine that you need to understand some things. Many of you got young kids in here. You know what it means, milk. You know, I just wonder sometimes I go out with young families, why ain't he eating mashed potatoes? I've got our youngest granddaughter just turned one. And I'm like, give her ice cream, you know, give her mashed potatoes, give her green beans. You want to bite a hot dog? And her mother's like, oh, no. They can't stomach it. They can't understand that. But we, as Bible believers, and many of us is on milk. I'll just say that right now. And many of us has been on milk far too long. So you got to have substance. You know, how many drinks protein shakes? Okay, one person, I drink protein shake. There you go. Okay, we know it's not meat and potatoes, but it does help you out some things, but it gets you through to the next time. But you got to have substance, guys, and be no more. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1 and verse 1. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I had fed you with milk and not with meat. For hitherto ye will not be able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. So what do you got to do? Paul's looking at the Corinthians and calling them what? Babes. And listen, as a preacher, as an overseer of a church, you want your church to grow as you grow. You don't want to leave no child behind, that type of thing. You want everybody to grow together, corporately. And go. And when you do that, you understand what you're going through. But, you know, some of us, you know, we understand that we got to back up a little bit. I remember when I was going through Grace School Bible, I went, I'm a special commodities relocation engineer. That's why the truck's there, about to be blown over. And I took Grace School of Bible in my tractor. And I, from Quincy, Illinois to Massillon, Ohio, 611 miles. You know how many Grace School of Bible tapes you can go through in 10 hours? Yeah. And I was redeeming the time in the tractor, and when I got home, I was so excited with the doctrine and taking the tests and stuff like that. I'm looking at my wife. I'm saying, did you know this, and did you know this, and did you know this? And I saw her going like this, and I was overwhelming her. She said, I'm not where you're at. And I'm like, whoa. You know, me as a leader of my home, spirit, you know, I need to back down and start bringing her up to where, you know, that way. And that's how we need to teach our churches. Many of you are thinking about churches, and you got your own churches, and some of us walked in the churches. You know, like I said on the home front, we started one. You know, at least we've been a part of at least five starting from scratch. So, you know, we can do it. You know, you always hear Brother Jordan talk about go outside and turn around and the number on your house, that's your church. That's true. You can do it, but you're going to have babes there. And so you can't be no more. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 20 says, brethren, be not children in understanding, howbeit in malice, but be ye children, but in understanding be what? Men. Hey, it's time to grow up around where we're at. It's time to understand. I know the plants had questions about their kids yesterday about how do you confront people or when people confront you. Listen, we got a gospel. We're supposed to be set for the defense. And when you're set for the defense of the gospel, what Paul gives us, you're not going to be tossed to and fro. Now, will your mind be, can your mind still be tricked? Yes, absolutely. Your glasses, your eyes are a photo. And everything you take pictures of, you open your eyes, you're going click, 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 and it can be tricked. I remember Brother Rodney, he'd do these tricks with their hands. It's not magic. It's tricking, tricksters. Okay? That henceforth we be no more tossed to and fro, and we're carried away with every wind of doctrine. That toss is thrown upward suddenly, and with a jerk, made to rise and fall suddenly. I saw Benny with his kids in a picture, and he had one of them, he was tossing them, wasn't he? And they was like way up there. And somebody said, wow, that's high. You know, that's tossing. It's not like a tossed salad, but it's tossing away with a jerk. You're throwing them up. And Acts chapter 20, verse 30. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day. You know what Paul did? For 3 years he warned those people this would happen. So as a local church, we need to be warned what's going on out there, don't we? You don't let your guards down, guys. And many of you know me, and I try to be a word man. I don't sugarcoat it. I let the Bible talk this. I'm harsh on a lot of people. And my wife sometimes, did you just say that person? I'm like, I'm sorry. What can I do? You know, it's time to be, you know, are you strict with your children sometime? You are, aren't you? Why? Was your dad and mom strict? Was the Bible tell you what to do? Yes, it does. Romans chapter 16, verse 17 says, now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause division and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. Listen, well, that's easy to do if you just mark them, avoid them. You don't have to plaster their name out on, you know, billboards. You don't have to stand out there in the parking lot and throw rocks at Ed. You know, that type of thing. Or me stand out in the parking lot in your parking lot. You just mark them and avoid them. That what does it say? That causes division and contrary to the doctrine. What doctrine? Brandon talked about that in a little bit. It says, verse 18, for they that were serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good works and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. What we learn about the bellies? What we learn about the pastors in Jeremiah feeding off the east wind, their bellies? Words, strange doctrines. With every wind's a doctrine. And I know some of us in growing up in this doctrine, we're like sponges. And when we helped start a church in Bristol, Virginia area, one of the pastors went across the Tennessee side and started a work over there. And we stayed behind at the little church. And they let this other guy. It wasn't pleasant. And they was pulling away, and they was causing division contrary to the doctrine we believe. Listen, there's Acts 28 doctrine out there. There's Acts 2 doctrine, Acts 9 doctrine. All of them can be dangerous to one group or the other. But I've been toe-to-toe with a lot of these people in the past, and it's not pleasant. When you got people that want to be your friend, and then when you line up, they don't line up with the doctor, the Pauline doctor, and they turn on you like grievous wolves, they turn on you viciously, you better know how to prepare yourself. You better know how to stand, okay? Because just because everybody says they're a Christian might not line up with the doctrine. And doctrine matters. Brandon, I didn't mean to say that, but that's his title for that. Doctrine does matter. That's substance. We're going to look at that in a little bit. Look, Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, but I fear lest any means, as a serpent beguiled Eve through the subtlety, so your minds should be corrupt from the simplicity that are in Christ. The simplicity. Adam and Eve had a simple message from God. And what does Satan do? He used that simplicity. He came right in. For if he that cometh preach another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if he received another spirit, which we have not received, or another gospel, which we have not accepted, ye might well bear with him. Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1, verse 9. Verse 6. I marvel how soon you were removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another gospel, but they are some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. Listen, Galatians was saved people, guys, that believed the gospel, the grace of God, without anything. But who was coming in and telling them about other strange doctrines? The Judaizers. If you line Galatians chapter 2 up with Acts chapter 15, you'll see what was going on there. These Judaizers coming in, they didn't mind you believing in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. They didn't mind that. But you've got to be circumcised after the manner of Moses to be saved. How does that fit in today? You got to be baptized. You got to pay tithes. You with me? You don't add to that. And Paul is saying you're tossed. Don't be tossed to and fro with this stuff. Oh, foolish Galatians chapter 3. Oh, foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth before whose eyes Jesus had brought evidently set forth and crucified among you? Colossians chapter 2 says, and I say, verse 4, and this I say, lest any man shall beguile you with enticing words. You ever had that happen? Good salesman's got some enticing words, don't they? For though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order, and steadfast of your faith in Christ. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so ye walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. I love how Brother Morris always talked about professing themselves to be wise in Romans chapter 1. You know what professors are? Professing. You got to watch people that will just entice you with things. You know, I love my little group here, the church. You know, they know that my Southern English is different between any other. Well, it's Appalachian English. I should be political correct. But some words I can't pronounce. And they're following along. They'll pronounce it for me. You know, enticing words. You might as well forget about that. I'm just going to be playing with you guys. Look, you know, you're not just dust in the wind. You know, you're not just, you have an anchor in the Lord Jesus Christ. You have a gospel that will anchor us down. 1 Timothy 1, verse 9 says, knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and the disobedient, for the ungodly and for the sinner, for the unholy and the profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for manstealers, for liars, for prejured persons. And if that be any other thing contrary to what? Not just any doctrine, sound doctrine. According to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3 says, for this time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts, they shall heap themselves teachers, having itchy ears, and shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall turn into fables. Look, I don't mind this mask stuff. That's you, if you want to wear a mask. What I do mind is blinders. You know, we got, some of you, not only masks, you got blinders on. Take the blinders off, get in the Word of God, and let that be your judge. Let that be your decision. You know what the root word of ignorant is? What's the root word of ignorant, guys? What is it? Ignore. You got blinders on. You're ignoring what's around you. Take the blinders off. Quit ignoring who you are in Christ Jesus. Take a stand. There's a lost world out there that needs to hear a gospel that saved them. The only answer with all this rebellion going on out there is Jesus Christ. Amen. Listen, there's no race in grace. Y'all know that. At least the color of skin. Look, Titus chapter 1 verse 9 says, holding fast the faithful words that have been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and convince the gainslayer. How are you going to convince the gainslayer out there if you don't know the doctrine? You're going to be tossed to and fro. You're going to be sucked in by that wind. Listen, you got to stand, guys. You really do. And people, I know preachers that I've talked to that says, you know, if I make this stand, if I make this decision, you know, I'll be by myself. Really? Have you looked around? You're not by yourself. I was told years ago, and it stuck with me, you make the stand as a preacher or as a teacher or as a student, as a saint of the Most High God, you don't worry about numbers. You stay focused on who you are in Christ and with the doctrine, and you look behind you, guess who's behind you? The right people standing behind you. You know, you don't want a bunch of people that don't won't stand with you, guys. I'm sorry. You don't want that. And your first ministry is to your family. Amen. Don't get carried away with everyone a doctor. I'm about ready to close, so hang in there. Many of you know Bob Dylan, right? You know, the answer, my friend, is not blowing in the wind, but it's God's word rightly divided. And we need to stand and withstand because the wiles of the devil. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. This wind thing is very, very important to know that when you get blowing, and there was times in my life as a kid, you ever stuck your finger in your mouth and went like this? You know what I'm doing when I do that outside? Well, as a kid, you're like, okay, you don't want to be downwind on certain things. A manure barn, you know, somebody with a gaseous belly, just saying. But look, you stick your finger in your mouth outside, and it will tell you which way the wind blows. Okay, it's blowing, you know. It took me a long time. You know what a weather vane is? You know why you use weather vanes? To find the direction of the wind, right? Okay, I'm thinking, how does this wind blow? The arrow is pointing that way, and the feathers are back here, the big part. Which way would the wind blow to make that change? What would make the direction change? Is it the small part or the big part? It's a tail. And it took me a long time to figure out, well, the wind's not blowing this. And I'm a truck driver, believe it or not. I'm like, which way is the direction? So that when that wind hits the tail part, that's showing which way it's going. See? And when you study the Word of God rightly divided, you know what's to the left of Paul's epistles, don't you? What's to the left? The kingdom gospel. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Okay? And then you have you in the middle, but now, and then you have ages to come. It's moving this way. So it's been like this, it's directional going this way. But what people does today with the change in the doctrine and stuff is this. They'll get you saved. They'll have you trust Christ died and buried and rose again for sins. Amen? That's what saves you. But you got to do what Jesus did. Okay? You got to do what Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John did. So they're changing the directional on you. They're taking you back into that east wind, if you will, and trying to apply things. Have you ever noticed that the people Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John couldn't do what Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John was doing? And there's people going to tell you that you have to do that? What makes you think you're any different that you can do that? You can't. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, for we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of God, in the sight of God we speak in Christ. Chapter 4, verse 1. This has always been a big one with me. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, what ministry? What ministry do you have right now? As we receive mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by the manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Do you know what renouncing hidden things of dishonesty is? You do in the ministry, don't you? You expose bad doctrine. You expose what's wrong in the world. Don't be afraid of that. You know, you. Life is just a vapor, guys. Many of you know that. We live in perilous times. Let's not forget the only answer, my friends, is being rooted and grounded in the Word and keep pressing towards the mark. Amen? Father, we thank you for the day. Thank you for giving us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Take a little break and we'll get started here when you hear the music. Thank you, guys.